Chapter 8, Takeoffs and Departure Climbs. This chapter explains and describes the factors involved and the pilot techniques required for safely taking the airplane off the ground and departing the takeoff area under normal conditions, as well as in various situations where maximum takeoff performance of the airplane is absolutely essential. The takeoff and departure climb involves the movement of the airplane from its starting position on the runway to the point where a positive climb to a safe maneuvering altitude has been well established. Since the takeoff requires both ground and in-flight operation, the pilot must be able to use the controls during their transition from ground functions to in-flight functions with maximum smoothness and coordination. Skill in blending these functions will improve the pilot's ability to control the airplane's direction of movement on and from the runway. A thorough knowledge of takeoff and climb principles, both in theory and practice, will prove to be of extreme value throughout the pilot's career. It often may prevent an attempt to take off under critical conditions that would require performance beyond the capability of the airplane or the skill of the pilot. The takeoff itself, though relatively simple, often presents the most hazards of any part of a flight. Accident statistics show that takeoff accidents, although slightly less in frequency of occurrence, are much more tragic than landing accidents. Consequently, the importance of a thorough knowledge of the principal factors involved and faultless technique and judgment cannot be overemphasized. Takeoffs should always be made as nearly into the wind as practical. There are two reasons for this. First, the airplane's speed while on the ground is much less than if the takeoff were made downwind, thus reducing wear and stress on the landing gear. And second, a shorter ground roll, and consequently much less space, is required to develop the minimum lift necessary for takeoff and climb. Since the airplane depends on airspeed in order to fly, a headwind provides some of that airspeed, even with the airplane motionless, by reason of the wind flowing over the wings. Although the takeoff and climb process is one continuous maneuver, it will be divided into three separate steps for purposes of explanation. 1. The takeoff roll. 2. The liftoff. And 3. The initial climb after becoming airborne. The takeoff roll is that portion of the takeoff procedure during which the airplane is accelerated from a standstill to an airspeed that provides sufficient lift for it to become airborne. The liftoff, or rotation, is the act of becoming airborne as a result of the wings lifting the airplane off the ground or the pilot rotating the nose up, increasing the angle of attack to start a climb. The initial climb begins when the airplane leaves the ground and a pitch attitude has been established to climb away from the takeoff area. Normally, it is considered complete when the airplane has reached a safe maneuvering altitude or an en route climb has been established. The normal takeoff is one in which the airplane is headed directly into the wind, or the wind is very light, and the takeoff surface is firm with no obstructions along the takeoff path, and is of sufficient length to permit the airplane to gradually accelerate to normal climbing speed. Prior to takeoff. Before taxiing onto the runway or takeoff area, the pilot should ensure that the engine is operating properly and that all controls, including flaps and trim tabs, are set for takeoff. In addition, the pilot must make certain that the takeoff path will be clear of other aircraft, vehicles, persons, or livestock, and that there will be adequate time to execute the takeoff before any aircraft in the traffic pattern turns onto the final approach. It is inadvisable to start a takeoff immediately behind another aircraft, particularly large, heavily loaded transport airplanes, because of the wake turbulence they create. While taxiing onto the runway, the pilot can select ground reference points that are aligned with the runway direction as aids to maintaining directional control during the takeoff. These may be distant trees, towers, buildings, mountain peaks, or the markings or lights along the runway. Normal takeoff roll. After taxiing onto the runway, the airplane should be carefully aligned with the intended takeoff direction and the tail wheel or nose wheel positioned straight or centered. In airplanes equipped with a locking device, the tail wheel should be locked in the centered position. After releasing the brakes, the throttle should be smoothly and continuously advanced to maximum allowable power. As the airplane starts to roll forward, the pilot should slide both feet down on the rudder pedals so that the toes or balls of the feet are on the rudder portions, not on the brake portions. The use of maximum allowable power, even though it may appear that conditions do not require it, is recommended for every takeoff. Engine-wise, there is little or no advantage in using reduced power. A takeoff at reduced power requires more time, and thus more revolutions of the engine. Consequently, there is more wear on the pistons, rings, and cylinders. Airplane-wise, reduced power would be the equivalent of starting the takeoff at a point well down the runway. At some airports, the runway length may be insufficient to permit this. Reduced power not only lengthens the takeoff roll, but increases wear on the tires. An abrupt application of power may cause the airplane to yaw sharply to the left because of the torque effects of the engine and propeller. With this in mind, the throttle should always be advanced smoothly and continuously to prevent any sudden swerving. Smooth, gradual advancement of the throttle is very important, particularly in the case of high horsepower engines or tailwheel type airplanes, since peculiarities in their takeoff characteristics are accentuated in proportion to the rapidity with which takeoff power is applied. The engine instruments should be monitored during the takeoff so as to note immediately any malfunction or indication of insufficient power. In nose wheel type airplanes, no pressures on the elevator control are necessary beyond those needed to steady it. Applying unnecessary pressure will only aggravate the takeoff and prevent the pilot from recognizing when pressure is actually needed to establish the takeoff attitude. As speed is gained, the elevator control will tend to assume a neutral position if the airplane is correctly trimmed. At the same time, directional control should be maintained with smooth, prompt, positive rudder corrections. Except in very large airplanes in which nose wheel steering is accomplished by a small hand-operated nose wheel steering mechanism throughout the takeoff roll. The effects of torque, or P factor, at the initial speeds tend to pull the nose to the left. The pilot must use whatever rudder pressure is needed to correct for these effects or for existing wind conditions to keep the nose of the airplane headed straight down the runway. The use of brakes for steering purposes is to be avoided since they will cause slower acceleration of the airplane's speed, lengthen the takeoff distance, and possibly result in severe swerving. With a tailwheel type airplane of normal stability characteristics and the elevator trim set for takeoff, on application of maximum allowable power, the airplane will, when sufficient speed has been attained, normally assume approximately the correct takeoff pitch attitude of its own accord. That is, the tail will rise slightly. This attitude can then be maintained by applying slight back elevator pressure. If the elevator control is pushed forward during the takeoff roll to prematurely raise the tail, its effectiveness will rapidly build up as speed increases, making it necessary to then apply back pressure to lower the tail to the proper takeoff attitude. This erratic change in attitude will delay the takeoff and lead to directional control problems. Rudder pressure must be used promptly and smoothly to counteract yawing forces so that the airplane continues straight down the runway. While the speed of the takeoff roll increases, more and more pressure will be felt on the flight controls, particularly the elevators and rudder. Since the tail surfaces, except T-tails, receive the full effect of the propeller slipstream, they become effective first. As the speed continues to increase, all of the flight controls will gradually become effective enough to maneuver the airplane about its three axes. It is at this point in the taxi to flight transition that the airplane is being flown more than taxied. As this occurs, progressively smaller rudder deflections are needed to maintain direction. The feel of resistance to the movements of the controls, as well as the airplane's reaction to such movements, are the only real indicators of the degree of control attained. Except on certain high-performance airplanes, instruments are not reliable indicators in this regard. This feel of resistance is not a measure of the airplane's speed, but rather of its controllability. To determine the degree of controllability, the pilot must be conscious of the reaction of the airplane to the control pressures and immediately adjust the pressures as needed to control the airplane. Normal liftoff. Since a good takeoff depends on the proper takeoff attitude, it is important to know how this attitude appears and how it is attained. The ideal takeoff attitude is that which requires only minimum pitch adjustments shortly after the airplane lifts off to attain the speed for the best rate of climb. Each type of airplane has its own best pitch attitude for normal liftoff. However, varying conditions may make a difference in the required takeoff technique. A rough field, a smooth field, a hard surface runway, or a short or soft, muddy field, all call for a slightly different technique, as will smooth air in contrast to a strong, gusty wind. The different techniques for those other than normal conditions are discussed later in this chapter. When all the flight controls become effective during the takeoff roll in a nose-wheel type airplane, back elevator pressure should be gradually applied to raise the nose wheel slightly off the runway, thus establishing the takeoff or liftoff attitude. This is often referred to as rotating. In tailwheel type airplanes, the tail should first be allowed to rise off the ground slightly to permit the airplane to accelerate more rapidly. At this point, the position of the nose in relation to the horizon should be noted, then elevator pressure applied as necessary to hold this attitude. On both types of airplanes, of course, the wings must be kept level by applying aileron pressure as necessary. The airplane may be allowed to fly off the ground while in this normal takeoff attitude. Forcing it into the air by applying excessive back pressure would only result in an excessively high pitch attitude and may delay the takeoff. As discussed earlier, excessive and rapid changes in pitch attitude result in proportionate changes in the effects of torque, thus making the airplane more difficult to control. Although the airplane can be forced into the air, this is considered an unsafe practice and must be avoided under normal circumstances. If the airplane is forced to leave the ground by using too much back pressure before adequate flying speed is attained, the wing's angle of attack may be excessive, causing the airplane to settle back to the runway or even to stall. On the other hand, if sufficient back elevator pressure is not held to maintain the correct takeoff attitude after becoming airborne, or the nose is allowed to lower excessively, the airplane may also settle back to the runway. This would occur because the angle of attack is decreased and lift diminished to the degree where it will no longer support the airplane. It is important, then, to hold the attitude constant after rotation or liftoff. Even as the airplane leaves the ground, the pilot must continue to be concerned with maintaining straight flight as well as holding the proper pitch attitude. During takeoffs in a strong, gusty wind, it is advisable that an extra margin of speed be obtained before the airplane is allowed to leave the ground, since a takeoff at the normal takeoff speed may result in lack of positive control or a stall when the airplane encounters a sudden lull in strong, gusty wind or other turbulent air currents. In this case, the pilot should hold the airplane on the ground longer to attain more speed, then make a smooth, positive rotation to leave the ground. Normal initial climb. Upon liftoff, The airplane should be flying at approximately the attitude which will allow it to accelerate to its best rate of climb airspeed. The best rate of climb speed, or VY, is that speed at which the airplane will gain the most altitude in the shortest period of time. If the airplane has been properly trimmed, some back pressure may be required on the elevator control to hold this attitude until the proper climb speed is established. On the other hand, relaxing any back pressure on the elevator control before this time may result in the airplane settling, even to the extent that it contacts the runway. The airplane will pick up speed rapidly after it becomes airborne. However, only after it is certain the airplane will remain airborne and a definite climb is established should the flaps and landing gear be retracted if the airplane is so equipped. It is recommended by engine manufacturers as well as the FAA that takeoff power be maintained until an altitude of at least 500 feet above the surrounding terrain or obstacles is attained. The combination of best rate of climb and maximum allowable power will give an additional margin of safety in that sufficient altitude is attained in minimum time from which the airplane can be safely maneuvered in case of engine failure or other emergency. Also, in many airplanes, the use of maximum allowable power automatically gives a richer mixture for additional cooling of the engine during the climb out. Since the power on the initial climb is fixed at the takeoff power setting, the airspeed must be controlled by making slight pitch adjustments using the elevators. However, the pilot should not stare at the airspeed indicator when making these slight pitch changes, but should instead watch the attitude of the airplane in relation to the horizon. It is better to first make the necessary pitch change and hold the new attitude momentarily, and then glance at the airspeed indicator as a check to see if the new attitude is correct. Due to inertia, the airplane will not accelerate or decelerate immediately as the pitch is changed. It takes a little time for the airspeed to change. If the pitch attitude has been over or under corrected, the airspeed indicator will show, belatedly, a speed that is more or less than that desired. When this occurs, the cross-checking and appropriate pitch-changing process must be repeated until the desired climbing attitude is established. When the correct pitch attitude has been attained, it should be held constant while cross-checking it against the horizon and other outside visual references. The airspeed indicator should be used only as a check to determine if the attitude is correct. After the recommended climbing airspeed has been well established and a safe maneuvering altitude has been reached, the power should be adjusted to the recommended climb setting and the airplane trimmed to relieve the control pressures. This will make it much easier to hold a constant altitude and airspeed. During initial climb, it is important that the takeoff path remain aligned with the runway to avoid the hazards of drifting into obstructions or the path of another aircraft which may be taking off from a parallel runway. If necessary to take off immediately behind another airplane, the possibility of wake turbulence must be anticipated, especially if the wind condition is calm or straight down the runway. If turbulence is encountered, resulting in sudden deviations in flight attitudes, firm control pressures should be applied to make a shallow turn to fly out of the wake turbulence. When in smoother air, the airplane can then be realigned with the original flight path. If a crosswind is present, the turn should be made into the wind, since the wake turbulence will be blown downwind or away from your flight path. Crosswind takeoff and climb. While it is usually preferable to take off directly into the wind whenever possible or practical, there will be many instances when circumstances or wisdom will indicate otherwise. Consequently, the pilot must be familiar with the principles and techniques involved in crosswind takeoffs as well as those for normal takeoffs. A crosswind will affect the airplane during takeoff much as it does in taxiing. With this in mind, it can be seen that the technique for crosswind correction during takeoffs closely parallels the crosswind correction techniques used in taxiing, previously explained in this handbook. Additional discussions on crosswind factors are contained in Chapter 9. crosswind takeoff roll. The technique used during the initial takeoff roll in a crosswind is generally the same as used in a normal takeoff, except that the aileron control must be held into the crosswind. This raises the aileron on the upwind wing to impose a downward force on the wing to counteract the lifting force of the crosswind and prevents that wing from rising. As the airplane is taxied into takeoff position, it is essential that the windsock and other wind direction indicators be checked so that the presence of a crosswind may be recognized and anticipated. If a crosswind is indicated, full aileron should be held into the wind as the takeoff roll is started. This control position should be maintained while the airplane is accelerating until the ailerons start becoming sufficiently effective for maneuvering the airplane about its longitudinal axis. While keeping the wings level with the aileron control, the takeoff path must be held straight with the rudder. Normally, this will require applying downwind rudder pressure, since on the ground, the airplane, especially the tailwheel type, will tend to weather vane into the wind. When takeoff power is applied, torque or P-factor, which yaws the airplane to the left, may be sufficient to counteract the weather vaning tendency caused by a crosswind from the right. On the other hand, it may also aggravate the tendency to swerve left when the wind is from the left. In any case, whatever rudder pressure is required to keep the airplane rolling straight down the runway should be applied. As the forward speed of the airplane increases and the crosswind becomes more and more of a relative headwind, the mechanical holding of full aileron into the wind should be reduced. It is when increasing pressure is being felt on the aileron control that the ailerons are becoming more effective. As the aileron's effectiveness increases and the crosswind component of the relative wind becomes less effective, it will be necessary to reduce the aileron pressure gradually to keep the wings level. The crosswind component effect does not completely vanish, so some aileron pressure will have to be maintained throughout the takeoff roll to keep the crosswind from raising the upwind wing. The use of proper aileron pressure, then, is simply to keep this from happening. If the upwind wing rises, thus exposing more surface to the crosswind, a skipping action may result. This is usually indicated by a series of very small bounces caused by the airplane attempting to fly and then settling back onto the runway. During these bounces, the crosswind also tends to move the airplane sideways, and these bounces will develop into side skipping. This side skipping imposes severe side stresses on the landing gear and could result in structural failure. It is important, then, during the crosswind takeoff roll, to hold sufficient aileron into the wind, not only to keep the upwind wing from rising, but to hold that wing down so that the airplane will, immediately after liftoff, be slipping into the wind enough to counteract drift. Crosswind liftoff. As the nose wheel or tail wheel is being raised off the runway, the holding of aileron control into the wind may result in the downwind wing rising and the downwind main wheel lifting off the runway first, with the remainder of the takeoff roll being made on that one main wheel. This is acceptable, of course, and is preferable to side skipping. If a significant crosswind exists, the main wheels should be held on the ground slightly longer than in a normal takeoff so that a smooth but very definite liftoff can be made. This procedure will allow the airplane to leave the ground under more positive control so that it will definitely remain airborne while the proper amount of drift correction is being established. More importantly, it will avoid imposing excessive side loads on the landing gear and prevent possible damage that would result from the airplane settling back to the runway while drifting. As both main wheels leave the runway and ground friction no longer resists drifting, the airplane would be slowly carried sideways with the wind unless adequate drift correction is maintained by the pilot. It is important, then, to establish and maintain the proper amount of crosswind correction prior to liftoff, that is, aileron pressure toward the wind to keep the upwind wing from rising, and rudder pressure as needed to prevent weather vaning. Initial crosswind climb. If proper correction is being applied, as soon as the airplane is airborne, it will be slipping into the wind sufficiently to counteract the drifting effect of the wind. This slipping should be continued until the airplane has climbed well above the ground. At that time, the airplane should be headed toward the wind to establish just enough crab to counteract the wind, and then the wings rolled level. The climb while in this crab should be continued so as to follow a ground track aligned with the runway direction. The remainder of the climb technique is the same as used for a normal takeoff and climb. Short field takeoff and climb. Taking off and climbing from fields where the takeoff area is short or the available takeoff area is restricted by obstructions requires that the pilot operate the airplane at the limit of its takeoff performance capabilities. To depart such an area safely, the pilot must exercise positive and precise control of airplane attitude and airspeed so that takeoff and climb performance results in the shortest ground roll and the steepest angle of climb. The result achieved should be consistent with the flight performance section of the FAA-approved airplane flight manual or the pilot's operating handbook. In all cases, the power setting, flap setting, airspeed, and procedures prescribed by the airplane's manufacturer should be observed. In order to accomplish maximum performance takeoff safely, the pilot must be well indoctrinated in the use and effectiveness of the best angle of climb speed, or VX, and best rate of climb speed, or VY, for the specific make and model of airplane being flown. The speed for best angle of climb, or VX, is that which will result in the greatest gain in altitude for a given distance over the ground. It is usually slightly less than the speed for best rate of climb, or VY, which provides the greatest gain in altitude per unit of time. The specific speeds used for a given airplane are stated in the FAA-approved airplane flight manual or the pilot's operating handbook. It will be found that in some airplanes, a deviation of 5 knots from the recommended speed will result in a significant reduction of climb performance. That being the case, precise control of airspeed has an important bearing on the safety of the operation. Taking off from short fields requires that the takeoff be started from the very beginning of the takeoff area and the airplane accelerated as rapidly as possible. At the field threshold, the airplane is aligned with the intended takeoff path and maximum allowable power applied promptly while releasing the brakes. If the use of flaps is recommended by the airplane manufacturer, they should be extended to the proper amount before starting the takeoff roll. This permits the pilot to give full attention to the proper technique and the airplane's performance throughout the takeoff. There is no significant advantage to extending flaps just prior to liftoff. Takeoff power should be applied smoothly and continuously. There can be no hesitation to accelerate the airplane as rapidly as possible. As the takeoff roll progresses, the airplane's pitch attitude and angle of attack should be adjusted to that which results in the minimum amount of drag and the quickest acceleration. In nosewheel type airplanes, this will involve very little use of the elevator control, since the airplane is already in a low drag attitude. In tailwheel-type airplanes, the tail should be allowed to rise off the ground slightly and then held in this tail-low flight attitude until the proper liftoff or rotation airspeed is attained. For the steepest climb out and best obstacle clearance, the airplane should be allowed to roll with its full weight on the main wheels and accelerated to the liftoff speed. The airplane should be smoothly and firmly lifted off or rotated by applying back pressure on the elevator control as the best angle of climb speed, or VX, is attained. Since the airplane will accelerate more rapidly after liftoff, additional back pressure becomes necessary to hold a constant airspeed. After becoming airborne, a straight climb should be maintained at the best angle of climb speed, or VX, until the obstacles have been cleared, or, if no obstacles are involved, until an altitude of at least 50 feet above the takeoff surface is attained. Thereafter, the pitch attitude may be lowered slightly, and the climb continued at the best rate of climb speed, or VY, until reaching a safe maneuvering altitude. Unlike a short field approach where the power can be varied to maintain the desired approach airspeed, the short field takeoff requires the use of full takeoff power. Since the power setting is thereby fixed, airspeed must be controlled by adjusting the pitch attitude, which in turn will also vary the climb angle. Remember that an attempt to pull the airplane off the ground prematurely or to climb too steeply may cause the airplane to settle back to the runway or into the obstacles. On short field takeoffs, the flaps and landing gear should remain in takeoff position until well clear of obstacles, or as recommended by the manufacturer, and the best rate of climb speed, or VY, has been established. It is generally unwise for the pilot to be looking in the cockpit or reaching for flap and landing gear controls until obstacle clearance is assured. When the best rate of climb speed has stabilized, retraction of the flaps may be started. It is usually advisable to raise the flaps in increments to avoid sudden loss of lift and settling of the airplane. After the flaps are fully retracted, the landing gear should be retracted if so equipped, and the power reduced to the normal climb setting. Soft field takeoff and climb. Takeoffs and climbs from soft fields require the use of operational techniques for getting the airplane airborne as quickly as possible to eliminate the drag caused by tall grass, soft sand, mud, snow, etc., and may or may not require climbing over an obstacle. These same techniques are also useful on a rough field where it is advisable to get the airplane off the ground as soon as possible to avoid damaging the landing gear. Soft surfaces or long wet grass usually retard the airplane's acceleration during the takeoff roll so much that adequate takeoff speed might not be attained if normal takeoff techniques were employed. The correct takeoff procedure at fields with such restraining conditions is quite different from that appropriate for short fields with firm, smooth surfaces. To minimize the hazards associated with takeoffs from soft or rough fields, support of the airplane's weight must be transferred as rapidly as possible from the wheels to the wings as the takeoff roll proceeds. This is done by establishing and maintaining a relatively high angle of attack or nose-high pitch attitude as early as possible by use of the elevator control. Wing flaps may be lowered prior to starting the takeoff, if recommended by the manufacturer, to provide additional lift and transfer the airplane's weight from the wheels to the wings as early as possible. The airplane should be taxied onto the takeoff surface at as fast a speed as possible, consistent with safety and surface conditions. Since stopping on a soft surface, such as mud or snow, might bog the airplane down, it should be kept in continuous motion with sufficient power while lining up for the takeoff roll. As the airplane is aligned with the proposed takeoff path, takeoff power must be applied smoothly and as rapidly as the power plant will accept it without faltering. As the nose wheel type airplane accelerates, enough back elevator pressure should be applied to establish a positive angle of attack and to reduce the weight supported by the nose wheel. In tailwheel type airplanes, the tail should be kept low to maintain the inherent positive angle of attack and to avoid any tendency of the airplane to nose over as a result of soft spots, tall grass, or deep snow. When the airplane is held at a nose-high attitude throughout the takeoff run, the wings will, as speed increases and lift develops, progressively relieve the wheels of more and more of the airplane's weight, thereby minimizing the drag caused by surface irregularities or adhesion. If this attitude is accurately maintained, the airplane will virtually fly itself off the ground. It may even become airborne at an airspeed slower than a safe climb speed because of the action of ground effect. This phenomenon produces an interim gain in lift during flight at very low altitude due to the effect the ground has on the flow pattern of the air passing along the wing. Ground effect is further explained in the chapter on Principles of Flight. After becoming airborne, The nose should be lowered very gently with the wheels just clear of the surface to allow the airplane to accelerate to the best rate of climb speed, or VY, or best angle of climb speed, or VX, if obstacles must be cleared. Extreme care must be exercised immediately after the airplane becomes airborne and while it accelerates to avoid settling back onto the surface. An attempt to climb prematurely or too steeply may cause the airplane to settle back to the surface as a result of losing the benefit of ground effect. Therefore, it is recommended that no climb to an altitude higher than barely clear of the surface be attempted at an airspeed slower than the best angle of climb speed, or VX. After a definite climb is established and the airplane has accelerated to the best rate of climb speed, or VY, retract the landing gear and flaps if so equipped. In the event an obstacle must be cleared after a soft field takeoff, the climbout must be performed at the best angle of climb airspeed, or VX, until the obstacle has been well cleared. After reaching this point, the airspeed may then be accelerated to the best rate of climb, or VY, and the flaps and gear retracted. The power may then be reduced to the normal climb setting.